I don't believe in free speech. I don't believe in free speech. I can't stand what they teach. I don't believe in free speech. I can't stand what they teach. I can't stand what they preach. I don't believe in free speech.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hi. Happy Valentine's Day. We're doing a late night Valentine's Day pod. We're taking a break from watching the amazing Beatles documentary, Get Back, which I've been meaning to get to for a long time. So this is super awesome.
I can jam to the Beatles. I just don't know how long this thing needs to be, you know?
The documentary?
Yeah, the documentary.
It's not long enough.
I think it's too long.
So we're like 45 minutes into part two and they've finally gotten into the studio. But like I could, like it could be like 20 hours of them just in the studio and I would be like, this, I would be very happy.
Wasn't, you know, part one 2 hours or something? And it was
2 hours and 15 minutes. It's just them rehearsing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can endlessly watch just about anything. Like the other day, I was listening to this whole studio breakdown with the isolated tracks from Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. It was fantastic. That's the first concert I ever saw in the first place, actually. So it's kind of cool. It has that. The first concert I ever saw was Bon Jovi with Skid Row opening.
Wow. Do you remember what my first concert
was? Hold on real quick. When we watched Gilmore Girls and then Sebastian Bach showed up and I was like, holy shit, that's Sebastian Bach. And you were like, who the fuck is that? And I was like, he was in Skid Row. And then when he opened for Bon Jovi, the only thing I remember about the whole concert was that he comes out with his awesome, you know, long blonde flowing locks and he goes, are you ready to rock? And everybody goes, yeah. And then he goes, because if you came to eat fucking popcorn, go home. That's like the only thing I remember.
You were how old?
I must have been like, I don't know, like 12, I think.
And you like looked down at your popcorn and you were like, man.
No, I was there to rock. And I was ready. I was like 12. This was like 1987.
Did you rock?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I rocked pretty hard. I had just started playing guitar. I was like 12. That's when I started. It's like 34 years ago or something.
My first concert was Taylor Swift. Stadium tour for, was it Live Swift? Live, Laugh, Love album.
How old were you?
10, maybe?
10? That's young for a concert.
Well, my younger sister was obsessed with Taylor Swift when she was like 7, I think. And my dad got us tickets and we went, and then later I used that as, blackmail so that he would get me tickets to go see Morrissey, and then Morrissey canceled the concert.
Oh man.
But then I saw Johnny Marr later, way later after that.
That's cool.
I was front row. It was pretty cool.
So you saw Taylor Swift when you were 10. That was like your first concert. And what year was that?
2008.
So like roughly about 20 years after my first concert.
Roughly, yeah.
What were you doing that whole time?
Learning how to talk and walk and go to school. I was reading awesome. Harry Potter books. Playing outside, you know.
That's awesome. So Valentine's Day is Monday. So we're doing a little daily huzzah on
could be called the lover's huzzah.
Toxic relationships and, or just celebrity relationships. Sort of. Mm-hmm. What's that sound? You hear that?
Sounds like it's rain outside.
It could be a little rain or it could be like the snow slowly melting in Vermont.
Yeah. There's a giant puddle in front of our house. I had to literally like catapult myself over, do like a really dramatic ballet leap get across. I was like awesome. Holding groceries.
That's because we're getting this bullshit warm spell. Like, my mom told me this morning from like in Virginia, it's like 60 today and for like the next 3 days. And the bullshit warm spell that we're having here is like, it was like 38 today.
So, yeah. But you go outside and I went outside and I was wearing like a scarf and my coat. And I was like, I really don't need all this. Like, I'm just so acclimated to it now. I'm like, wow, this is like, it's balmy out here.
It's weird how that works. Yeah. I know I need to go outside. I should have gone outside. I haven't been out in like, I don't know how long. I never go outside anymore. It's terrible.
You're like the Colin from Secret Garden.
Basically, yeah. Now. I know. I'm like, somebody opens the window and I'm like, the fresh air. No, it's not that bad. But basically, yeah, I've turned into just like a Victorian sick child or something.
Did I tell you about how when I was at that weird outdoor school, they wouldn't let us put, like each teacher had a laptop. I think it was issued by the school. And my teacher wouldn't let me, like if you were like working on it individually, you weren't allowed to put it in your lap because she thought that like gave you cancer.
Like radiate your groin or something.
Yeah. So like anytime, even if you were like, you know, sitting down and it's like, it makes sense to have it in your lap. You had to like have it next to you.
This was like your hippie like explorer nature school that you had to go to for a while instead of real school.
Yeah, for fourth grade and fifth grade, it all worked out. But we did some weird stuff, like outdoor excursion things where we had to go build our own teepee. They dropped us off in the wilderness of North Carolina and we had to build our own teepee and sleep in it. And then we had to do centering activities where we built like a rock circle and we were supposed to find a rock that we identified with. And we grounded ourselves with a singing bowl. And we had to walk through this, like, it was on a farm. It was like this, like, basically a compound in the middle of North Carolina.
Was that the time when you accidentally peed on yourself?
Yes. I had so much bathroom anxiety growing up, and I, like, just couldn't pee in front of anybody. So I waited all day because they didn't have bathrooms there. It was just outhouses, and they were just in the wilderness. And so I waited all day to pee because I couldn't pee if anybody knew I was going to pee. So I like got out of my sleeping bag at like midnight and walked down the trail, but then I couldn't figure out where the outhouse was. So I tried peeing in the woods and I ended up just peeing all over myself. And then I had to walk back and get in my sleeping bag with
That's awful.
It's so terrible.
Oh. See, this is a great start to our Valentine's Day special because that's how I found you. I could tell that you were like the kind of person who would have had like extreme like bathroom anxieties growing up. Just weird, like it's like the anxiety of being a human being is like the larger metaphorical anxiety there. I think when kids have those sort of anxieties, my grandfather, God rest his soul, he used to always say, children have real problems. Take them seriously. Listen to them. They have real problems. I'm convinced. So it's, you know, I always think of that in moments like that with children, you know, like children, those weird anxieties and fears that they have, they're so existential, you know, they're so raw, you know, that we never really change. I think, you know, you were all still just those kids. We've just learned to like play it off better, you know? But it's the same fears are still there underwriting everything. And it's like, so a kid like that, like you have all these, it's like just all these bodily anxiety dreams and these like anxiety dreams. Oh, Jesus, like the dream. I still
teeth
have dreams.
Falling
we
out.
Talk about this all the time. We have dreams all the time of, yeah, like your teeth falling out or whatever, or I don't even want to tell you about this. Oh, the dream I had last night.
No, we're not bringing that up.
It's the kind of dream.
It's not Valentine's Day.
It's not. It's a sort of dream like, yeah, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was like, you know.
It was an infidelity dream.
It wasn't an infidelity dream. It was a dream about, it was a body anxiety dream
you
about the opposite
sex. You were
cheating
on me in your dream.
But she was decaying and you know, corrosive and decaying and consuming, you know. It was like a dream about, like, when people talk about, like, Shakespeare, it's like, oh, the tyrannical, misogynistic imagery in Shakespeare, you know, of, like, he's always doing these metaphors, like the unhallowed, blood-stained hole, crowned with rude briars and shit like that, and everybody's like, you know. But anywho, it's Valentine's Day.
Well, that sort of relates to Valentine's Day. I mean, it seems like when what Shakespeare gets criticized for, if anything, he's writing more about like the actual physical act of making love or like being with another person and that person being what is inspiring to you versus like now everybody is just like, oh, I just want to, you know, I just want to get laid. Like, I'm just going to download this little thing on my phone so I can like have sex with somebody. And it doesn't have anything to do with the same, like, I mean, none of those people would write a sonnet about you.
And speaking of, yeah, like writing sonnets, like I was just going to say, like the language that we use is so telling. Like at one point, okay, like Okay, so I'm older. We established earlier, if you didn't know already, like I'm older than you by quite a bit.
Oh, he's ancient.
Older than you can possibly imagine. Back in my day, nobody would say like fucking somebody unless they were talking about like that word was used to describe like a one like sex in a kind of a bad way, you know, sort of like obviously that means like it's like sex without love, you know, or in particularly it would be used by men in that way that the old what feminists used to be would fight against, you know, like the idea of a man like fucking a woman. It's like this, you know, you don't, in other words, like you don't, it's that old school way of thinking about it, right? Like you don't fuck your wife, you don't fuck a woman that you care about, you know, you would fuck some cum dumpster, you know, they would you would, right, like you would fuck some woman you didn't care about or whatever. And by the way I don't need to tell you this, you know, but for anybody else, it's like that's never been my scene anyway. That's always really disturbed me, like on an existential level, when people talk like that. But now, like, it's like women have reclaimed that word, you know, in the same way that certain other groups have reclaimed other words that I'm not even going to begin to mention right now. But and particularly not just reclaiming, it's not just the word, of course, but it's a whole embracing of just shitty. It's like people have said this many times before, like, you know, what feminism as it is now has done is not a fight to make men better and thus to make us more equal. It's just to make women as bad as men ever used to be. And that's what women are now. You go
so they can feel more like victims.
Like, we go out to a bar and you just see, like, women are just sitting around just celebrating, just being fucking pigs. It's like we went out to the pub that night and it's like just woman after woman just sitting there just talking about the, like, what a great shit they had earlier. And then, like, this guy they used to fuck. And they're like, I remember sitting with this couple and they were doing that, the girl especially, but they were both doing it. It's like they had made some sort of pact to be super honest and not repressive. So they're sitting around talking about all the people they used to fuck. And they're talking about it with that language. And they're just like so proud of the fact that they don't have the same hangups that assholes like me have. But then I just sat there and watched them. And you can just see they look like there's like a wolf behind their smile, just about to tear their fucking throat out. You know, there's like this crazed mania behind their eyes, because you can see they're just like, they hate it. Because what they want is the same shit that everybody's always wanted. You know, nobody wants to sit there and listen to somebody they love talk about the people they used to fuck, right? That's not Valentine's Day.
No.
But that's what people have turned into now. Like, the idea now of using the word making love, that used to be like the thing that men were embarrassed about and all women wanted to say. And now it's like only an asshole would say that. Like somebody, it's like only an idiot would believe in these sorts of things. Just and dating is about out and whatever. It's just, it's a hookup culture.
Just like marriage is out, basically.
It's just the hookup culture.
And if you're into marriage now, people just think it's like you're just putting on a show. We you know, you're just before. Like the whole rise of like the trad quote unquote thing of like, oh, I'm putting on the show of being a trad woman. I'm going to pretend, especially with the pandemic when people started like, I mean, they were home all the time. So there was the rise of like the stupid, dumbass cottage core aesthetic and like the homemaker thing. And it's all just about, again, like we talked about the smoking thing, it's just about being able to advertise it online. So you get into the idea of like, oh, every night I'm gonna make my husband fresh baked bread and I'm gonna like do his laundry and everything, and you post about that, so it makes it seem like you're into it, but really, I mean, your morals and your ideals are not surrounding that.
This reminds me of just something that really started to irritate the hell out of me several years ago. We're noticing this tendency of girls to sort of play house. The same girls who are told products, complete products of the hookup culture. They don't believe in dating. All they've done is just fuck their way through high school and college and whatever, with the idea that like maybe they'll settle down later, you know, or whatever, or maybe not, because they're not chumps, you know, they're strong women, they're independent women, but they still like to play house. So they love to make social posts like referring to their boyfriend as their husband,
right?
Or referring to their girlfriend as their wife, if they're, you know, whatever they are, whatever it is, like, it's like playing house and making these posts like a girl posting a picture of herself basically wearing no clothes so everybody can look at her online, with a post about how, like, just waiting for my husband to come home from war so I can make the dinner. And it's a picture,
like,
of you
down,
like, laying
at the 7-Eleven
around naked
buying cigarettes.
He's at the 7-Eleven buying cigarettes, and you're at home taking fucking naked pictures of yourself and putting them on the internet. Okay, so what's in the news? What's in the news this week?
Kanye West is in an open relationship with Julia Fox.
Who's Julia Fox?
She's an actress / just famous, you know, layabout person who got liposuction and, you know, does stuff on the internet.
Great.
Yeah. So they have been, I don't know if you're aware of this, you might have been, but Kanye West was married to, would you like to take a guess who he was married to?
Jennifer Lopez.
No. you can get this, I think.
Kanye West. No, I feel like this
for
is something.
For a couple years, they
when
have
you tell
like
me,
two
I'm gonna
kids
be like,
together.
Oh, right.
No, you can get this, honey. I know you
really?
Can. Yeah, I believe in you. Kanye West was married to...
Oh, Kim Kardashian.
Yes, there you go.
Yes!
So Kanye West was married to Kim Kardashian for a while. They have two or three kids together. And it was a whole big thing because she had to go through like fertility treatments, I think. And she had a surrogate carry one of her children, I think. But I believe I'm... you know, not super up to date with this stuff. I just see it and read it and go like, that's just crazy. I'm going to bookmark this for the pod. But they have an 8-year-old daughter named Northwest.
And Northwest?
Northwest. And they have another daughter named Chicago West, I think. And so recently, they got divorced fairly recently. I think last year it was like during one of the lockdowns maybe. But now Kanye West is dating this girl who's a bit younger than him, I think, Julia Fox, who's an actress. She's been in a couple things. Literally none of them are coming to my mind right now. But their relationship has been a bit rocky. It started around New Year's. And he recently, you'll also get this because we watch Gilmore Girls, but at her birthday party recently, her like 30th birthday party maybe, he bought everyone at the birthday party a Birkin bag.
Oh.
And do you remember where the Birkin bag shows up in Gilmore Girls?
Oh, that's a deep cut there. No, I don't.
Logan gets Rory a Birkin bag for her birthday.
Yeah, right.
And Emily is like, do you know what this is? And Rory's like, no, I have no idea. And it's literally like a $32,000 handbag, basically. You have to be on a wait list. You can't even buy one. You have to get invited to buy one.
I just want to take a little, quick little aside to say, like, if you own a Birkin bag, like you should, like, shame on you.
Frasier!
Shame on you. I mean, dude, you could take that bag and sell it. Like, just donate it to a charity. $32,000 could
feed a lot of
people.
That's just, I mean,
there
are rare ones that are over $300,000. Yeah. I mean, they go outrageously.
I think what's really annoying about that especially is that there's absolutely no justification. There's no, like, there are certain things where, like, you know, you could buy, like, you know, you could buy a $10,000 acoustic guitar or something that is, like, just made with like this incredible wood, you know, it's just like the most like rare, beautiful, like the most beautiful piece of wood, and it's been aged and all this amazing, and this inlay that's just, you know, so there are certain things that you're paying for because it's like ridiculous levels of quality and craftsmanship. But a fucking bag, I'm not saying, you know, there can be ridiculous levels of craftsmanship, but obviously what you're paying for in a situation like this is just being able to say that you own a Birkin bag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just paying for the name of the thing. There's not, it's not like, you know, a Mercedes versus a Prius. It's not just that you own a Mercedes and can be like, oh, I have a Mercedes. It's like a lot fucking nicer to drive than a Prius.
Yeah.
But
and
a Birkin
bag
is just
a
purse. A
bag. I mean, I love a good designer handbag. Don't get me wrong. I would never, first of all, I can't buy a Birkin, but I would never want to own a Birkin. I would rather own something that's more understated and more functional. I mean, a Birkin bag, I've seen pictures of them and it's like, it looks like you have to like do the Da Vinci Code in order to like open them because there's like a lock and there's all these weird things and they just don't, they're not cute. So anyway, Kanye West for his girlfriend's birthday party last week or 2 weeks ago bought everyone there Birkin bags. So you have to imagine how much money that is. There was probably like, I think there are like 10 or 15 girls there who are friends with the friend with his girlfriend. Oh, yeah. And he bought all of them a Birkin bag. And then following that, there were a couple of news articles about how have they broken up? Like, what will she do with the Birkin bag? Like, does everybody have to return them now that they've broken up?
That's so disgusting.
And then it comes out that they are in an open relationship. And they're just... oh, yeah. I remember. This is exactly why I wanted to read this to you. Because their claim of why they're in an open relationship, you'll love this. Julia Fox claims that they are evolved beings. And their bond transcends typical norms because they're evolved beings and they just want each other to be happy. There's no jealousy or bad vibes.
What I just despise about the poly people, and the first time when people I've started hearing somebody talk about poly stuff, it's just instantly, of course, it had the ring of just total inauthenticity to it. Like cut the shit. You just want to fuck a bunch of people. And you want to, like, you just want to be, you just want to do what you want to do. It's called narcissism. It's, you're not a fucking evolved being, okay? If you want to have an open relationship, fine. I'm not saying that, don't give me the shit about being more evolved than I am just because you have more political capital and you have more moral authority because you fucked more people than me or you fucked more at the same time or whatever. Like, that's the thing that kills me with these people. Like, okay, that's one thing.